Hey everybody, welcome back to Growtential. My name is Sarah and I'm with my dad, Doc. We are a father-daughter duo who is learning and growing and trying to do our very best to grow into our full potential. And as we grow and learn, we want to share with you what we are learning. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you today?
Great. Just got done with school.
That's a beautiful thing.
Long pause. So today we are going to kick off a two-part series on hope. What do you think of when you think of the word hope?
Well, it's complex. Mm-hmm. So hope is another one of these Christian words that everybody says and just has a vague thought about what it means.
Like it's almost like it can become a Christian cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for most people, hope is simply wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they call anything they wish for hope.
And it's really Western culture. It's like, ooh, I hope I can do good on this, or I hope, yeah. And you're crossing your fingers.
Yeah. But it turns out humanity has been thinking about hope as back to when we explain things by mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the Greek philosophers, people were trying to come to terms with this experience of hope.
Mm-hmm. So how would you define hope?
Well, personally, I would define it in several ways.
Okay.
It's one of the kind of words that, because it's both a thought and a feeling, hope is a thought, I think, but it's also a feeling I experience. It requires a more beefy definition.
Okay.
All right. So let's get some of the elements into it.
Good.
First of all, hope, we only hope for the things we want. So desire is a necessary part of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope always focuses on the future. So at its core, hope is a desire I have about the future.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That desire about the future is affected in two ways. One is by what I think is possible. It's easier to have the expectation that the thing you desire is going to happen in the future if you can see how it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I hope I get to ride my motorcycle. Well, I desire to do that, and I can see how it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But hope is also affected by what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I can believe things that I'm really not sure are possible for me. And that can influence my hope.
So do you have an example of that?
Yes. If I look at my life and have to have hope at the judgment, I despair. But if I look at my life and I believe in the mediating work of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
So not based on what the possibilities of my life makes me think, but based on who Jesus is and what he does, I have hope.
Yeah. It's like the ultimate.
Right. So that hope is not based on my experience of what is possible.
Mm-hmm.
That hope is built on my belief.
Okay, so we have some people in our family that come to my mind when I start thinking about this, and I am one of them. When your life kind of shapes those beliefs. Your life kind of shapes, am I going to have really a good outlook of what's to come or a bad outlook? And sometimes when so many bad things have happened, you expect the worst. And so hope is then replaced with fear.
Yes.
And so when you have a personality like me or some of the other people in our family that I will not name. Crystal, and I'm just kidding. But when I think about that, how do you, when you have experienced the worst, when you have lived through hard things, how does hope replace fear?
All right. So the people who study hope, they say mental imaging is important. I'm going to make it a lot easier. How am I imagining the future? In fear, I'm imagining the future as something I do not desire.
The worst case scenario. Right. Yeah.
Our old slogan, worst first.
Yeah, good at that.
All right. In fear, I am imagining a future that I don't desire.
Mm-hmm.
In hope, I'm replacing the future I don't desire with the future I do desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fear, I say, everybody's going to get sick.
I'm going to have a terrible year.
Right. In hope, I say, what is it I desire to happen next year?
Mm-hmm.
Not what am I afraid of happening? What is it that I desire to happen? What can I do to increase the possibilities of that happening?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about this in our second podcast. What is the nature of God in his relationship to me that makes me optimistic that the thing I desire in the future is going to happen?
Mm-hmm. You know, so this podcast is going to be coming out the first week in December, and the holidays are coming. So Christmas is coming, and some people have very broken families, so the holidays look a lot different. Some people have healthy families, and it's beautiful and fun. Some people can't stand their families. You know, there's just, it's a mix of emotions. And so sometimes the fear is justified. And how would you say when you kind of, you're going into something that you're dreading a little bit, how would you shape leading with hope instead of fear?
We like Greek stories, don't we?
Yeah.
They embody ideas.
Yeah.
The Greeks told the story of Pandora, that all the bad things that people fear were captured and put in a box. And Pandora was told never to open it.
Yeah.
Of course, she didn't know what was in there, and the box was so interesting, and the fact that she wasn't supposed to open it got the best of her.
Understandably so.
And she let out all these terrible things into the world. Mm-hmm. Everything we fear, everything that is disastrous, she released them into the world. But one thing was in the box that she didn't release, and that was hope.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who see this story from the optimistic point of view say, we're not denying that there are a lot of bad things in the world.
That's right.
We accept them. We acknowledge them. But we acknowledge them in the environment of hope.
Mm-hmm.
We don't separate all these terrible things from our capacity to desire a future that has goodness and pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm.
Augustine, our friend Augustine, said that hope has two essential parts. The first is the knowledge of the possibility of good. You have to be very, very cynical to say there's no possibility at all of good.
Mm-hmm.
So the future does have a great deal of possibility for good. But Augustine said you have to put with that the knowledge of difficulty. Am I going to face challenges next year? Yes. But do those challenges mean that I can't hope for the things I desire in the new year? No.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge both. I have challenges in the new year, but hope says the possibility of good helps me confront the challenges. Mm-hmm. So I acknowledge that there are challenges and difficulties. I acknowledge that everything isn't pleasant, but I do it in an environment. I do it in a mental image of hope.
Okay.
I have expectations that next year is going to be full of the pleasures that a healthy Christian life provides.
So when you say this mental picture, do you actually stop and think through a mental image of good? Do you think through a mental image of, I am going to hope for what's best?
Yes, that's mental imaging. And then hope stops being a vague idea, and hope starts focusing on these mental images I create. Mm-hmm. So let's just take something real visceral. You hope to have the best year of your life for your family.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to have concrete images that go along with that. Mm-hmm. I want to look at next year and say, when our family gets together for Thanksgiving, we're going to have these pleasant conversations. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to enjoy each other. I don't want to say, well, next year when we have Thanksgiving, we're probably going to have to argue about this. Mm-hmm. See, I'm pushing hope out.
Yeah.
I am imagining the future.
Yeah. And most of the time that is based on experience. So you felt it before. So I'm a firm believer that we can shape our experiences too.
Yes.
That if we do have the perspective of hope over fear, or hope over what we've maybe always known, that it can shape us and shape the environment around us. So you just did that sermon, it'll be a month ago when they watch this, but on the richness of God and his kindness and how it can shape us and help shape people around us. I did a sermon on honor. And so I think going into these things too is deciding what is shaping you, what is shaping your thoughts, and how do you shape the room around you then?
Yes.
You know?
So Aristotle talked about hope in his book on ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that one of the distinguishing characteristics of hope is courage and confidence.
Mm.
So I'm going to look at next year, and I'm going to have a mental image of created by hope.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that mental image is, I have the courage to confront the challenges of the new year.
Yeah.
I'm not a coward.
Not letting the voices speak louder than what I truly desire the most in my life.
Yeah. And I have confidence that with the help of God, I can make the things I hope for happen.
Okay.
They're not a magic wand.
Right.
The things I hope for create goals. The things I hope for create commitments.
Mm-hmm.
The things I hope for call me to be my very best.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hope actually ends up influencing what happens.
Yeah.
Or my lack of hope ends up influencing what happens.
I was reading somewhere studying that every human being, they have conflicting desires in their hearts. It's good versus evil, or maybe it's not as black and white, but it's conflicting desires. And when we look at our conflicting desires, when we're in our unhealthy spot, you normally are leaning towards the unhealthy desire. And when you're in a healthier spot, you're leaning towards the desire that is most likely who God created you to be. And so when I think of this fear-based life, or this overwhelmed life, and replacing it with hope and therefore courage, I'm just trying to think practically for people. on if you were setting goals personally, or you were talking and counseling someone who was struggling with this or struggling with not living out the courage piece, what would be one piece of advice for how to switch it, how to think about it?
Okay.
What do you add to your calendar? What do you do?
Let's split this in two. Remember, Augustine taught us that faith and hope go together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul taught us, and Augustine tried to explain it.
Yeah.
All right. And this is what he says. Faith looks to the past revelation of truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can look at my past, and I can look at my past through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can look at my past and look at it in despair.
Yeah.
I've had all these bad things happen.
Right. Almost like a victim.
Yeah. That probably means it's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can say, I'm not looking at my past the way I used to. From now on, when I look backwards, I look backwards in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Look what God has done for me.
Some people call that reframing.
Yeah, look what he's brought me through. If God brought me through that, then surely... So I look backwards in faith, so then I can look forward in hope.
Mm-hmm.
God has already brought me through this. God has already blessed me in this way. He's already revealed himself to me. Okay, so that frames... My expectation mm-hmm. for the future.
Yeah.
All right. In a more practical thing, let's look at Kant's questions.
That's right.
You think that'll help here?
Okay. Who's Kant, number one?
Immanuel Kant was a philosopher, and he struggled to bring his philosophy and his religion together.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of struggling with philosophy and religion in the way Kant thinks.
Okay.
And Kant said there are three questions that we have to answer to start taking control of our life.
Okay.
The first question is, what can I know? What is knowable?
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book called Critique of Pure Reason. His second question is...
Well, let me just ask, what does that mean?
What is knowable?
A little lost in it, yeah.
All right. What can I know and how can I know it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm a Christian, and I believe there are a variety of ways of knowing things. I learn some things through my senses.
Mm-hmm.
It's called empiricism. I learn some things by what I see, feel, taste, touch.
Sure.
All right. There are some people who say that's the only way you can know anything. Well, I think that's one way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Reason is another way of knowing. I don't know this because I've actually seen it, felt it, touched it. I know this because these facts add up to this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to line up 10 apples on a counter and divide them into two groups to know that 5 + 5 = 10.
Mm-hmm.
I can reason my way to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But then thirdly, I believe that faith is a way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are some things that can only be known by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That God is a Trinity. That God created the heavens and the earth. In Kant saying, what can I know, it opens the question of, we don't all agree on what we can know because we don't all agree on how we know what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So in the issue of faith, in the issue of hope, I'm a Christian. I believe in some things about who God is. And we'll get into that in our second.
Yeah, next.
All right. And because I believe in who God is, I can have hope about the future based on who God is and not based on my past or my present circumstances.
Right, not based on circumstances.
All right. Once I know, once I start dealing with what can I know, then I have to start saying, because I know this, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this, what should I do? You talked about your sermon on honor. Because I know God wants me to outdo others in showing honor, mm-hmm. I should do that.
Yeah.
All right. And I should have hope that as I do that, God will bless me.
Mm-hmm.
If I outdo somebody in showing honor and they don't appreciate it and all those other things that go with it, that doesn't affect my expectation for the future because God said he'll honor that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What can I know?
And that takes courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can I know? What should I do? And then his third question is, for what can I hope?
Mm-hmm.
What can I reasonably have the expectation that the good thing I desire is about to happen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And like many other things, Sarah, in Christianity is a thinking religion. So hope has to be a thinking activity.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Holy Spirit creates some hope in us as a freebie. But I also believe a great deal of hope comes through me doing spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
Me thinking the way God teaches me to think.
The renewal of the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot, even in those moments of pain and hard that you have gone through and everyone has in their lives, I now claim it and say, I'm not wasting this.
Yeah.
If this is going to be a part of what something I have to learn and go through, I'm not wasting it. I just said it with Jacob the other day. I was like, let's not waste this. Let's grow in this and let it create a deeper set of intimacy for us. Because I don't want to waste it.
No.
And so if we're going to have to go through the things we're going to go through, having the courage to use it to go bigger and deeper. I love this verse in Philippians 1. We had talked about it just a minute ago before we started filming. Paul's in prison, and he's saying, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all put to shame, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body. I think that is just something I have been contemplating a lot, that I want to have the courage that Christ is honored in me and through me. And I think that hope creates and shapes perspective for us that makes not only us better, but the people in our lives, it helps us to shine into them and make them better.
Yeah, Paul was practicing right there what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking into his future.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he knew his past. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked.
Yeah.
He was stoned. He knew his past.
Mm-hmm.
But when he looked into the future, he defined his future by his eager expectation and hope.
Yeah.
He was saying, I'm looking to the future and I'm letting hope define my future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to glorify God.
Yeah.
He's envisioning the future that he desires based upon his foundation of hope.
Yeah. All right, I want to wrap it up here, but I just want to summarize that really the start of switching and making hope a foundation for your life over fear and making hope and that courage connected is to really mentally start to picture it. To think into the future with optimism and have courage doing it. Okay, so next month, we are going to pick up on Hope Part 2, and we are going to be talking about where hope comes from and a little bit of the character of God in it. We hope this was helpful. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we hope you guys have a great day.